So Rabbi Osei, we're here on Daf Gimel Amid Beis, and we have just another little piece to finish the sugya that we started yesterday regarding a korah or schach. Part of the korah is above Esrei Mama, part of the korah is below Esrei Mama, part of the schach is above and part is below. And the Gemara came to the conclusion in the name of Rava that in both cases it's kosher. Kosher, not only in the case of Mavui, which is only Drabanan, but also kosher in the case of Schach, which is Da'oraisa. Zevzeh kosher. And that was the last line on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Now we turn to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And Rava supports this by saying Chalal Sukkah Tanan v'Chalal Mavui Tanan, meaning that the Mishnah here at the beginning of Erev and the Mishnah there at the beginning of Sukkah allow a Chalal, an airspace, all the way up to 20 Amma, but not above 20 Amma. So therefore, if the Schach is partially below 20 Amma, there's no airspace of 20 Amma inside the Sukkah. If the Korah dips below the Esrim Amma level of height, therefore there's no halal of empty space of Esrim Amma. Everything is kosher. The sukkah is kosher, and the korah for tikkun mana is kosher. Everything is fine. So what we're up to today is Amar Leh Rav Papa LeRava. So let's see if we can find it. It's on the first line on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Okay then. I want to quote a brisa that would support Rava. And this is the last thing we did yesterday, and this has to do with a comparison between Mavui and the requirement that the Mavui be up to, but not beyond, Esrim Amma. It's got to be below Esrim Amma. And the analogy to Pischo Shel Heichal. So the brisa says the following: Mavui Shu Gavah Mi Esrim Amma. So the entrance into this Mavui is above 20 Amma. Yoser mi pischo shel heichal. It's higher than the opening, the entrance into the heichal. Is yamait. He should lower the Mavui to make sure that it's not 20 Amas high. But he's comparing it to the Pesach HaHeichal. So the Gemara says, this Rav Papa's diuk, heichal gufa chalolo esrim. In fact, the entrance to the Heichal was 20 Amas high, and it had a halal, it had a airspace of 20 Amma, and therefore the Heichal has the same, it sets the pattern, if you will, it's the paradigmic of the Mavui, and the Mavui also, like the Pesach of the Heichal, should have no more than an airspace of 20 Amma. And therefore, if he puts the Korah, dipping part of the Korah below 20 Amma, so there's no airspace in the Pesach of the Mavui of 20 Amma, therefore it's kosher. Eisvei Rav Shimi Bar Ashi L'Rav Papa. Rav Shimi has a Braisa, and he's going to ask a Kasha on Rav Papa from the Braisa. The Braisa says the following: Ketzad Hoya Ose. There's another Girsa, Ketzad Hu Ose. And we're talking about a case where he has a korah that's above 20 Amma. What should he do in order to be machshir, to be masakin this korah, so that the mavui becomes a mavui with a korah, and you're allowed to carry in a mavui with a korah? So the Braisa says, "Meiniach korah misfas esrim ulamata." Now I'm going to translate this Braisa according to the answer of the Gemara. Okay, according to the answer of the Gemara. So then we'll be sharper and we'll have a better grasp of the kasha of the Gemara. The answer of the Gemara is cross out the word ulamata and instead put in the word ulamala. Obviously the Gemara is not going to be happy with that, but let's just see what would happen if we were able to make that change. If it says misfas esrim, from the high point, that's the, if you draw a horizontal line at the height of 20 Amma, then place your korah lamala above that line. So it would mean that all you need is a halal of esrim amma, and then when you hit the jackpot, you hit that point of Esrim Amah, at that point you put up your Korah. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, this Rav Shimi's question, it doesn't say Meisfas Esrim Ulamala above Esrim, but rather it says Ulamata. It says that the Korah has to be below that point of Esrim Amah. So that's against Rav Papa in his interpretation of Rava, because in Rava, in that partnership, so to speak, between Rav Papa and Rava, we came to the conclusion that even if the airspace is 20 Amah, then as long as the Korah is up there, starting from 20 Amah and above, then that's okay. But here it says that you have to place the Korah below Esrim Amah. So Gemara says, Ema, we have to interpret this Braisa as Ulamala. It means from Esrim Amah Ulamala. So as long as your airspace is 20 Amah, not beyond 20 Amah, then you have a Korah which is valid, and you have a Tikkun Mavui. The Gemara says, what are you telling me, Ulamala? Va Lamata Katani. The Braisa is very explicit. And it tells you, Misfas Esrim Ulamata, meaning that the Korah has to be from that point of 20 and below. Meaning that you cannot have an airspace of 20 Amah. It has to be an airspace that's less than 20 Amah. So the Gemara says, Hakam Mashmalon, when the Braisa tells me Ulamata, it's teaching me another din. Now, basically, again, I don't know if this is going to help you, it helps me. What happens is, according to the Gemara's defense for our Papa, for Rava, we're going to add one word to the Braisa. We're going to say, Misfas Esrim Lamala Ulamata. As if it said both Lamala and Lamata. Which means that Enochinami, as long as there's an airspace of 20 Amah, then fine. The Korah starts from 20 Amah, that's called Sfas Esrim Ulamala, that goes above. That's kosher. But now the Braisa wants to add another chidush called Lamata. Now let's understand what Lamata means. So let me tell you this. When you talk about the height of a Mavui that lends itself to Tikkun Mavui, you have to talk about the minimum height and the maximum height. The minimum height is 10 Amos. The maximum height is 20 Amos. Just one second. I'm sorry. I made a big mistake here. Sorry. Okay, you didn't catch the mistake, so I got away with it. That's good. I was just testing you to see if you were aware. You talk about the minimum height of a Mavui is 10 Tfachim, not 10 Amos. So a Mavui has to be from the height of 10 Tfachim up to, but not beyond the height of 20 Amos. Okay. Now, what the Braisa wants to tell us is a chiddush about Lamata. And Lamata means that you must have, right, so we're talking about a very low Mavui, right, because, you know, you're talking about 10 Tfachim, it's almost a little, it's like a little area that's surrounded by very low walls, let's say. Now, the Pesach of the Mavui, in order to give it a significance of a Mavui, such that now we can make it into a Shusayach through the Korah, it has to have a minimum height. The minimum height is Asar Tfachim. So this Braisa wants to tell us that minimum height above which you're going to put a Korah, right, if you have that minimum height, has to be an airspace of 10 Tfachim. So, for example, if you were to put the Korah below 10 Tfachim, it would knock off part of the airspace, such that now you only have 9.9 Tfachim of airspace. That's not a Mavui. The Mavui has to have a full airspace of 10 Tfachim. So now this Bryce is telling me two halachas. One halacha is Lamala, and the other halacha is Lamata. The halacha Lamala is telling me that as long as the airspace in the Mavui is up to but not beyond Esrim Amah, then it's a Mavui, as far as Heksher Mavui is concerned. And therefore you can put the Korah misfas esrim ulamala, meaning from that line, that's 20 amma and above. Why? Because then the airspace in the Mavui is 20 amma, and that's fine. Now the Brisa adds another word called lamata. And by lamata, what it means is just like you had to have a maximum airspace in the height of 20 amma, so too you have to have a minimum airspace of 10 amos, of 10 tefachim, sorry, in the height from the minimum perspective. So you have a minimum of 10 tefachim airspace and a maximum of 20 amos of airspace. That's a mavli. Now, if he would put his korah at exactly the line of 10 tefachim height, that's fine, because then you have an airspace of 10 tefachim. But if that korah dips below 10 tefachim, then the airspace is only 9.99 tefachim, and then it's not a mavli. Let's see the Gemara inside. That's all. It's just what we, in Yiddish we call it eisavenik. Eisavenik means when you say it over outside. He says the following. He says hakamashmal and dilamata kilamala. There's going to be a common law, an analogous law, comparative law between lamala and lamata, in terms of the gova of the mavli, the height of the mavli, both the maximum and the minimum. Mala mala chalola esrim, just like in the case where the korah is up, the maximum height is going to be esrim, which means that you have to guarantee that the airspace within the mavui, the entrance to the mavui, is up to 20 amma, but not beyond 20 amma, and therefore you're going to place the korah at the sfas esrim ulamala. It's got to be above, and it can be above 20 amma because, but sfas means on that line. It can't be higher than that line, because again, if it's in higher than that line, then you end up with an airspace of 20.1 amos, which is not aflamata. So too in terms of the minimum height, chalola asor, you have to guarantee that you have an airspace of 10 tefachim in the chalal hamavui. In other words, if you put your korah down below the spas asara, meaning asara tefachim, then you've knocked off some of the airspace such that you have less than 10 tefachim's worth of airspace, and therefore it's not considered a mavui. So again, Rabosai, it's adding a word to this brisa, which is called lamala and then ulamata. Right? It's got lamala and lamata. Okay. Now Rabosai, we're starting a new sugya. Now for this new sugya, we're going to require some diagrams. I have a couple of beautiful diagrams to show you in my Gemara. I don't know if in your Gemara you have beautiful diagrams. But the subject of our Gemara now is the Amma, right? We're talking about 10 Ammos, 20 Ammos. What exactly is the Amma? How large is an Amma? And the Gemara says that in truth, there are two different Shi'urim, two different sizes of an Amma. The Gemara is going to say that in order to appreciate the size of an Amma, we have to give a relative size, which means relative to the Tefach. How many tefachim make up an amma? And in truth, there are two different answers to this question, and they're both right. They're both correct. But we have to know when to use which definition. One definition is that there are six tefachim to an amma. Now, the next definition is there are five tefachim to an amma. The first definition is obviously longer. The amma is longer than the second definition, because you're adding an extra tefach, so you're up to six tefachim. Now, for your knowledge and for mine, we have to know that this amma, the larger amma, which has six tefachim, is called the Amma Shel Moshe. Okay? And he says in the footnote here that Moshe Rabbeinu made this takana of an amma that it's six tefachim. So one amma, the larger amma, which is called an amma gedola, the amma of Moshe, is called the amma of six tefachim. Okay then? Now, the locate the place that you want to find this discussion in Shas, in Mishnayos, is in Masechta Kelim, in the 17th parak. Fine. Now we have an Amah Ketana. How many Tfachim make up an Amah Ketana, a smaller Amah?
Five
Tfachim. Okay. Now, these two Amos, the larger and the smaller, the 6 Tfachim Amah and the 5 Tfachim Amah, are both mentioned in the 43rd chapter of Sefer Yechezkel that the Gemara is going to bring later on in Daf Dalet. Yechezkel is going to give us a sort of a plan for the ultimate Migdash, the third Beis HaMigdash. And in that parsha, in that perek in Yechezkel, the 43rd perek, he's going to give us two different shiurim, sizes of the Amah. One is going to be 6 Tfachim, that's the Amah Gedola, and the other is going to be 5 Tfachim, the Amah Ketana. Now, I'd like to take a minute of your time to ask the question, what does the word Amah mean? Just the taich, the translation of the word Amah. The Amah is the distance between the elbow and, if you extend your arm out, the middle finger, which is the larger of your fingers. That's called the etzba emtzait, the middle finger. So the merchak between the perek hazro, which in modern Hebrew is called the marpeik. So if you'll ever take a course in anatomy, you'll know that the elbow is called marteik. So that's the size between the marteik and the Amah. The Amah is that middle finger, which is what do we call it? The middle finger, I guess that's what we call it in English as well. Does it have another name? No. And it's the largest of your fingers. Now, all this is based on a whole series of sources dating back to the Rishonim, the Radak in Yechezkel. There's a shoot of the Ramah Mipanau. He was an Italian Jew. His last name was Katzenellenbogen. Anyway, leaving out all the names, because we're not so interested in the names, we have at least the translation of the word Amah. Now, in the back of the Gemara, we have a commentary called the Rashash. The Rashash says that the Amah of 6 Tfachim is different than the Amah of 5 Tfachim, the large one and the smaller one, is because the larger one will measure the Amah from the elbow all the way to the end of the middle finger. Lesof ha'etzba ha'emtzayis. The Amah Ketana, which is one tefach smaller, measures from the marpeik to the beginning of the etzba, meaning the point at which your finger connects to your hand. So you subtract that finger, which is called the tefach, and you end up with, instead of 6 tefachim, 5 tefachim. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to analyze the following 3 halachas. One is the sukkah, the other is the mavui, we're familiar with those two, and the third is kelayim. Now, in terms of kelayim, we're going to have to get into many, many different dimensions of kelayim, but let's just say the following. You have a vineyard, and you're not allowed to plant zeraim, let's say, we'll give an example, wheat, within a certain proximity of the vineyard. Let's say 4 amos. So you have to be marchik 4 amos from the vineyard. Otherwise, you violate the iser kelayim. What is the size of your amah? Now, watch this. If I don't know whether to use the larger Amah or the shorter Amah, what I'm going to do in these cases is it depends which of the two Amos is Lechumra and which is Lekula. So the Gemara initially understands that in each area of Halach, in each discipline, we're going to have to determine whether extending the Amah is a Chumra, or on the contrary, by a smaller Amah it's Lekula. For example, if I want to tell you how far you have to distance yourself from the vineyard in order to permit planting your wheat, for example, which Amah do I want to use? The longer Amah Lechumra or the shorter Amah Lechumra? Which one is Lechumra?
6.
the light, the longer Amma, the Amma of Shisha. But if, on the other hand, let's take the case of a sukkah, and we want to say that once the sukkah is 20 Amas high, it's possible, then which Amma do you want to use L'chumra?
The
smaller Amma, the shorter Amma. Why? Because then I'm going to tell you that the sukkah has to be lower, and if it's higher, then it's possible. If you put the schach above Esru Amma, the sukkah is psula. Same thing will apply in the case of the Mavui. If you put the Korah above Esrim Amma, then it's no longer valid as a Korah to be Matu the Mavui. So what we're saying now is, Amar Abaye Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Amas Sukkah, the Amas Mavui, be Amma Bas Hamisha. In these two cases, we're going to take the smaller Amma, and therefore we're going to reduce the distance that makes up 20 Amma, because we're going to go L'chumra, and we're going to require that the Schach be lower rather than higher, by subtracting one Tefach from each of the 20 Amma, which means you're going to basically subtract 20 Tvachim. And you're going to have to lower your sukkah a significant amount. That's called a chumrah. In the case of the mavui, the same thing is going to apply. You're going to have to lower the korah based on the smaller amma of chamisha tefachim, such that the korah can't be too high. However, says Abaye, in the name of Rav Nachman, in contrast, we have the amas kilayim. When it comes to kilayim, and we talk about hachoka kilayim, that you have to be marking yourself from the vineyard, from the kerem, then we want to get a longer amma, bas shisha tefachim, because that's going to be your chumrah, that you can't get too close to the vineyard. So from the fact that Rav Nachman distinguishes between, on the one hand, sukkah and mavui, and on the other, kalayim, it would seem that the rule of thumb, okay, I said thumb, not the middle finger, okay, the rule of thumb is that we always go to chumrah. So in Sukkot Mavi, we're going to go L'chumra, and therefore we're going to take the smaller Amma. That's called the Amma Ketana Bas Chamisha Tefachim. In the case of Kelayim, we're going to take the Chumra, and we're going to measure it out with the Amma of 6 Tefachim, and that's going to be a Chumra in Kelayim. But now the Gemara wants to analyze this. There are many different dinim in sukkah, and many different measurements that are relevant to sukkah, to mavui, and to kalayim. And Rav Nachman seemed to have made a blanket statement, kind of all-inclusive, as if to say that in general, the Amas Mavui, the Amas Sukkah is the smaller Amma. There are dinim in both Sukkah, Mavui, we'll see it in Kalayim as well, where it works the other way around. Where Dafka, the larger Amma is a Chumrah, or in the case of Kalayim, the smaller Amma is a Chumrah. So the Gemara asks the following question. Amas Mavoi, Rav Nachman says that you measure the Amma for a Mavoi, be Amma Bas Chamisha. Lamai Hilchasa, which dinim of a Mavoi, by taking the smaller Amma, you're being Machmir. Legovo. Number one, as far as the height of the Mavoi, because the Mavoi cannot be taller than 20 Amma, so we're going to be Machmer, we're going to take the smaller Amma, that's A, and B, Lepritas Mavui. Pritas Mavui means that the walls of the Mavui, right, as we discussed many times, a Mavui has to have two walls, and then there's a third wall that blocks you from, on that side, entrance into Rosh Hashanah. What happens if there's a Pirtza, an opening in the wall? So with regard to a pirtza in the wall, we have a sugya later on in Daf Hey, and the Gemara there establishes that if the pirtza between, let's say, one plank and another in the kosel is wider than 10 amos, then it's possible. Because, you know, these two parts of the wall, these two vertical planks, if you will, are separated by Eser Amos. They don't connect to each other, and therefore cannot be considered as a mechitza. to set up a Rishus HaYachid, and now once again you're going to want to take the smaller Amma, because if you're talking about a Piritzon, you have to minimize the opening that separates these two parts of the Kosel, of this wall, then you want to diminish that amount if you want to go L'chumra, and say, well, they have to be closer to each other, and if they're not close enough, it's called a Piritzon, it's no longer a Mavud. So we're going to be Machmir by using the smaller Amma, because if we use the smaller Amma, then the distance of Eser Amos is reduced, and therefore we're going L'chumra as far as the Piritzon is concerned, because if it's going to be more than 10 Amos, then it's a Piritzon. And once you get to 10 times 5 Tfachim, which means 50 Tfachim, it's already a Pasul of Mavui. Whereas if you were to take the Amagdola, then you would add another 10 Tfachim, and instead of 50, you'd have 60. You follow what I mean? So Gemara now asks, wait a minute, you haven't covered the entire gamut of the dimensions of a Mavui. Ve'aika, we have something called Meshech Mavui bi'arba Amos Dilakula. This is also a sugya on Daf Heyom and Aleph, which is called Meshech Mavui. Now, what does this mean? The length of the Mavui also requires a minimum shear, and that's called Arba Amos. If the orech of the Mavui, the length of the Mavui, you know, like sometimes you go out of your chatzer into a Mavui, and immediately, in a short distance, you're already out in Rishus HaRabim. That's not a Mavui. That doesn't lend itself to the heter of Lechi Vekora. The Mavui has to be at least a minimum of 4 Amos long. Right? So let's say, John, probably where you're sitting is about 4 amos from me. Maybe even you're more than, maybe that's already maybe 8 amos, I don't know. But let's say Don, well, somewhere between Don and John, somewhere in the middle there would be 4 amos. So the Mavui has to be at least 4 amos long. Now what you want to do is you want to extend the size of the Amma from 5 tvachim each Amma to 10 tvachim each Amma. I'm sorry, to 6 tvachim each Amma. So that your Arba Amos now will not be 20 tvachim, but rather be 24 tvachim. Did I get that right? 4 times 6 is 24. Why? Because we want to know what the minimum orech of the Mavui is in order to lend itself to the heter of Mavui. So why did Rav Nachman make this blanket statement that when it comes to Mavui, we're going to measure the Mavui with Amos Ktanos? It's really relative. It depends what dinim. If you talk about the din of Gova, or if you talk about the din of Piritza, then Enochinami, you're right, it would be L'chumra to reduce the size of the Amma and make it into an Amma Ktana. But if you're talking about the din of Meshech Ha'aruch, which means the length of the Mavui, then you want to set up the minimum length as being longer, and that's going to be L'chumra, and therefore you want to use the Amma Gedola. So the Gemara answers, Kimandi Omar. Again, this is Rabbi Yosef on Daf Heyom and Aleph. He holds that the Orech of a Mavui is the Arba Tfachim. That even a very small, short Mavui, it's only 4 Tfachim, you know, it's like from here to here, that's considered a Mavui, and we can be matter it with a Lechi and a Korah. So we're not dealing with Amos at all, according to Rabbi Yosef. However, the Gemara wants to square off now with another Shita that holds against Rabbi Yosef on Daf Hey, that the minimum length of the Mavui, the extension of the Mavui, has to be 4 Amos. Eboy Sam, I'll give you another answer. And Rav Nachman holds Enochinami bi'arba Amos, that the minimum shear of the length of the Mavui has to be 4 Amos. And Rav Nachman would certainly agree that in this context, we would have to be Machmir, and we have to measure with Amos Gedolos to make sure that we extend the minimum length of the Mavui. I, Rav Nachman, said that with regard to Mav, we were going to use the Amok Tano, Rov Amos Ka'amar. What he meant to say that as far as most of the dinim and the shiurim of an Amo with regard to Mav, we're going to measure it with the Amok Tano 5 Tfach. But Enochinami, there's always the exception to the rule, and that's going to be what we call the Meshech, or the Orach of the Mavui, which now we're holding is 4 Amos, and we're going to take the larger Amo that has 6 Tfachim, so we're going to need a minimum of 24 Tfachim in length in order to consider it a Mavui.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I want to go back, because now we're talking about Amot and Tfachim. So before, I think you said, when we were talking about the airspace, you started to say, you said Tfachim instead of Amo.
Oh, so maybe I made a mistake. I apologize.
And
airspace is always in Amo.
And Amos.
Right.
So it should be minimum of 10 Amos and maximum of 20 Amos.
Right. I'm sorry. I meant to say
10 Tfachim.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I thought you were talking about the
airspace.
Yeah,
airspace.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was talking about the maximum airspace in Gova. The maximum airspace is 20 amos. The minimum airspace is 10 tfachim. Yeah,
you can. Minimum is 10 tfachim.
Right.
Not 10 amos.
Yeah.
So it's minimum 10 tfachim,
right.
Maximum 20 amos.
20 amos. Correct. Anywhere between 10 tfachim and 20 amos is called a mavur.
Another question, please. When you talk about the length of the mavui,
right,
you say 4 amos. What's the purpose or benefit of?
Again, the mavui has to be something significant enough that it's not an extension of Rishus HaRam, but rather it's a Rishus to itself. Halachically, according to the Doraisa law, it is a Rishus to itself because it's surrounded by 3 mechitzos. But the Rabbanan said that since the Ravim spill in there, it's mamish right off the highway. So in the eyes of the spectator, it looks like a Rishus HaRabim. The whole goal of being Matir Tiltul in a Mavui is to make sure that we set up the Mavui as an entity unto itself. It's a separate Rishus, and now we can call it a Rishus HaYochid. It's distinct from the Rishus HaRabim. If, let's say, you enter into the Mavui from here, and immediately you're at Rishus HaRabim, it's such a small area, it's less than 4 amos, then really it's just an extension of Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't have a personality or identity unto itself. Now let's go on to Sukkah. The Gemara is going to ask a similar question against Rav Nachman with regard to Amas Sukkah. You just told me, Rav Nachman, that Amas Sukkah is an Amabas Chamisha Tfachim. And why do we take the smaller measurement? Lamai Hilchasa Legova, because now we're going to be Machmir, we're going to reduce the airspace of the Sukkah. And we're going to say that the airspace of the Sukkah is going to be 20 times 5 Amos. Right? So that's going to be 20 times 5 tfachim, which means it's going to be 100 tfachim high. So we're now being more strict about the requirement of a sukkah. If the schach is above 20 amma of the amma ktana of 5 tfachim, which we said is 5 times 20 would be 100 tfachim, then it's already possible. That could help us also with a Dofen Akuma. Now, the sugi of Dofen Akuma is in Mesechta Sukkah Daf Yud Zayin, and we're talking about a bias, I'll explain, Shenifchisa Tikroso Biemtza. In other words, the ceiling is higher on 2 sides, and it's lower in the middle. Right, like I'm thinking, okay, I don't know, maybe I'll bring a picture of my porch, but here anyway, we'll have a picture here actually, so let's just go slowly and see if we can figure out. Have you ever heard of a Dofen Akuma? That's a Dofen Akuma, which literally means a crooked wall, is going to be one of the major sugyas in Masechta Sukkah, and figuring out when a sukkah is kosher or not. So we're talking about a case where Samach Lekiros Habayis Nishara Tikra Ach B'merkas Agag Ein Tikra B'sichech Al Gabi Mokom HaChoser B'schach Kosher the im marchik ben aschach hakoshel tfanos abayis eino magil li arba amos. Just give me 1 minute to collect my thoughts here, because I'm beginning to look at this picture and I'm not exactly sure. Just 1 second. So again, what's happening here is that the kiros of the bayis are on two sides, correct? Those are the defanos. And now the schach. Oh, so let's talk here, Rabosa, can you look at me for a second? Let's talk about a case where the gag, the open roof upon which you put your schach, is, how do you say, indented? That's not a good word. It is
this way, or?
No, what I mean to say is, like, for example, look up at the wall for a second, correct? The wall, I'm sorry, I said look up at the wall. Starting in.
Ceiling.
Look up at the ceiling, right? The ceiling extends all the way to the walls. Okay, now imagine the following. Imagine that you cut out an area in the wall. I'm sorry, in the ceiling. I'm making the same mistake over. At least I'm consistent. Right? The same. So you have a ceiling that now opens up. It's like a skylight. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Shtibel, right. So what you have is now an opening in the ceiling, and you put the schach on that opening. Now the problem is that in order to have a schach, there has to be some relationship between the defanos, the walls, and the schach. So at some point, what you really have is a dofen akuma, which means the following: that this wall, again, if you can imagine that cut out in the top, that wall sort of bends towards the schach.
In the old city, you have walls that are.
So, you know, if you're bending the wall towards the schach, you can consider that as that bend, so to speak, under the following circumstances, I'll explain in a minute, as an extension of the schach, so that now the schach is connected, I'm sorry, as an extension of the dofen, of the wall. So the machitza, in a sense, now dips or turns towards the schach. Again, we're going to set up the conditions for that in just a second. Once I can do that, then I have a connection between the schach and the walls. The walls, the defanos, can only serve as defanos if they surround the schach. So let's say, for example, you would have a distance of more than 4 amos between the walls and the schach. So let's say, for example, you cut out in the ceiling a small area, right, in this particular scenario of our wall. So that now, right, if this is your dofen, you would have to go more than 4 amos in extending your dofen towards the top, towards the left, in order to connect with the schach. So that's going to be puzzle. Okay, so let me just show you, if I could show you this diagram here. Okay, so what he did was, in this diagram, right, this is his chukah, you know, he's got his table, his chair, his, you know, even has a window to look out to Yerushalayim, very nice. But he has here a cutout in the ceiling where he put his schach, correct? Now, what's the distance between the walls, the defanos, and the schach? It's got to be less than 4 amos on each side. If it's less than 4 amos on each side, then it's a dofen akuma, which means
as if
the dofen connected to the schach. But if it's a distance of more than 4 amos, then the sukkah is psula. Now, in this case, in order to be machmir, you're going to use the smaller amma, meaning the amma 5 tvachim. So it means if you're going to multiply 4 times 5, it's 20 tvachim. The maximum space or distance between the dofen and the schach is going to be 20 tvachim. Can't be more than 20 tvachim. So this is another example of applying the rule of Rav Nachman, that by taking in sukkah, the lower, the smaller amma, 5 tfachim, you're being machmir.
No, the schach could not be extended over the roof to the dofen, because that portion would not be considered schach.
Right. And there's going to be a machlokas rishonim. Again, we're not learning sukkah now, whether you're allowed to sit under that area, which is the ceiling of which has no schach, because it's the extension of the wall. And this is what I have every year in my sukkah back in Har Nof, because we have a Dofen Akuma, and it connects to the Schach only through this less than Dalet Amos. So we tell people not to sit under the Dofen Akuma because they're not under the Schach. Other Rishonim would say you're allowed to eat even under the Dofen Akuma. Okay, so far we're doing well. Now we have the Gemara's Kasha. We're going to find a din in sukkah in which the ama ktana is a kula rather than a chumra. Va'ika meshech sukkah bi'arba amos dila kula. Disanya Rebbe Omer. Omer Ani is the language of this is the final halacha. Like, don't even think of debating it with me. Omer Ani, this is what I can tell you. Kol sukkah she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos psula. So this is going to be the case of meshech sukkah. What's the case of meshech sukkah? Again, I'll show you the picture in just a minute. It's a case where the shear of the orach and the rochav of the sukkah, Rebbe holds that it has to be at least 4 amos square, 4 amos length and 4 amos width. Okay then, so how, just 1 second, I'm not sure, just 1 second, but give me a minute here because he has another picture here. Shera Sukkim Shachmina Satikra Ki'ilu Chelek. Okay, that's what we said before. So why does he need a second picture? I'm trying to figure out here. Hadofen is akma b'sofa yonizkach kosher. Chof gimel. Okay. Shir zem achmirim onu limdod bi'amos ktanos. Oh, v'yem hirchik bein aschach hakosher. More than... Okay, I'm not sure. The second picture is just to show you when the distance between the wall and the schach is more than 4 amos, and therefore the sukkah is psula. So here in the second picture, he has a smaller cutout, and therefore the distance is more than 4 amps. Okay, fine. Now we get to Meshech Sukkah. Now, Meshech Sukkah means that the sukkah itself has to have a minimum size to it. And what is the minimum size? It's got to be 4 amos square. That means 4 amos by 4 amos. That's Rebbe Shita. Again, we don't paskin like Rebbe, so this is very foreign to us, but the Gemara wants to know, according to Rebbe, if you're measuring the minimum size, then what kind of amah do you want to use? No. Yeah. If you measure, again, you want to go l'chumra, and you're measuring the minimum size, then you have to take the larger amah. Am I correct? Otherwise, your sukkah is going to be too small. And therefore, by taking the smaller amma, you're going lakula. How could Rav Nachman say that in sukkah, because we want to be machmir, we take the smaller amma? That makes sense if you're talking about reducing the height to a smaller height, or reducing the distance between the wall and your schach in the case of dofen akuma. But if you talk about the minimum shear, which has to be 4 amas by 4 amas according to Rebbe, then you want to use the larger amma.
Why? I don't get that.
No, you don't get that?
If you want to be a chumra,
yeah,
you want it to be smaller, not larger.
No, because if you're going to take it smaller, you're going to be machshir and mekil on a smaller sukkah. You don't have the minimum size of a sukkah. So whenever I'm talking about the minimum size of a sukkah, I want to extend that if I want to go l'chumra. No good?
That's what's confusing.
Anybody can help me here? I mean, to me it's black and white, but that doesn't mean anything.
So it'd be 20 tvachim by 20 tvachim, but it has to be 24 by 24. If you do the smaller one, it's only 20 by 20. But really...
Which is l'chumra? If I tell you that this sukkah is kosher or it's possible? Which would be l'chumra? If you can answer that question, I think we'll have an answer to that question. I have 2 sukkahs, right?
Right?
I'm going to tell you one is posel and one is kosher. Which one is l'chumra? The posel one, right? So if I'm going to tell you that the minimum size of a sukkah less than which is posel, then if that minimum size is a larger size, it means I'm going to posel the sukkah if you don't have that larger size. That's a chumra. So here I want to use the amah gedola of 6 tefachim. Because then I'm going to tell you, even if you have the amah ktana, which would be 4 times 5 tefachim, which is 20 tefachim, it's still posel. It'll only become kosher when I multiply the number 4 by 6 and I have what? 24 tefachim. So the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbanan, it could be the Rav Nachman holds like the Rabbanan against Rebbe. Di Amri Afilu Einam Achzekes Ala Rosho Verubo V'Shulchano. You can have a tiny sukkah. I call it, maybe that's not a nice word, a doghouse. So, is that a bad word to use? And strike it from the record.
Don't let the app one. That's
well, I got a better one. A dollhouse. Okay. Today they have large dolls, right? They're almost life size. But it's a little dollhouse. How much space is inside this little teeny sukkah? It's enough for Rosho. His head could go in there. Most of his body. And his table. And the Gemara establishes in the Masechta Sukkah that according to the Chachamim, the minimum size of a sukkah that you can go in there and eat, even though half your body is outside of the sukkah, less than half, is Shiva Tfachim square, seven Tfachim square. That's a very small sukkah, my friends, because seven Tfachim is less than the size of this table here. Do you follow? So you've got a sukkah that's literally this size. You may have noticed in the, you know, Lubavitch goes around with the sukkahs on the back of the truck. Okay, I'm sure it's more than the minimum shear, but you know, imagine you don't have such a large truck and you put, and your portable sukkah is very small. That's when they rely on the on this minimum shear. But in any event, the shear has nothing to do with the ama. It only is in terms of tfachim. So therefore, Rav Nachman's comment about which ama to use to measure your sukkah is totally irrelevant. I can go back and say that Rav Nachman agrees with Rebbe, and the shear, the minimum size of a sukkah is 4 amos square. But nevertheless, Rov amos ka'omar. Rav Nachman's statement, when he said that with regard to sukkah, we're going to use the smaller amma of 5 tefachim, that's for Rov, most of the dinim of sukkah. Like, for example, the minimum requirement of the height of the sukkah, or the closeness between the kosel or the dofen and the schach. There, he's going to use amma ketan. But eino chinami in the exceptional case, and that's going to be the discussion about the minimum size of a sukkah according to Rebbe, which is 4 amos by 4 amos. Here, he's going to use the larger amma in order to be machmir and require a larger sukkah in order to be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Now we get to Rav Nachman's comment about kelayim. And Rav Nachman says that as far as kelayim is concerned, we're going to use the amma bashisha tfachim, the larger amma. And that's going to be the chumrah. Lamai hilchasa, for what din? Le karachas hakerem. Ulemechol hakerem. Okay, so first of all, as we said a few minutes before, if you recall, you're not allowed to plant zroim. Now, the word zroim, I gave the example before of wheat, but it really applies not only to wheat, but to all 5 species of grains, and not only that, it also applies to vegetables. So you're not allowed to plant zucchini within a certain distance of the kerem, of the vineyard. Then as far as legumes are concerned, kidneys, that's going to be a gigantic machlokas in Masechta Kelayim, where you have to be marchik for kidneys. Now, there's something called avodas hakerem. I mean, you won't see it here in our Gemara. Does Gemara use the term Avodas HaKerem? I don't think so. Does it? If anyone sees it, let me know. But anyway, the term Avodas HaKerem is a term that we'll learn later in Masechta Erevin on Daf Tzadi Gimel. And Avodas HaKerem is the shear, the minimum of Harchaka, how far you have to distance yourself if you want to plant grains or vegetables right next to or continuous to your vineyard. Now this harchaka is k'shebo lizro b'tzido shel kirim, d'haynu k'vutza shel kama gefanim. In other words, the iser of kalayim only applies when you have a number of rows of vineyards. And that's going to be very important to us as we go along. If you've ever seen a vineyard as you pass by, you know, you drive by, sometimes you see it from the window of your car or your whatever, you'll see that it's got what we call lines or rows, right? Rows of vines. If you have only one vine, then the shear of harchok is in tfachim. It's only six tfachim. That's something else. Now, a kerem, for our purposes, has to have a minimum of two lines of gefanim, and each one of those two rows has to have a minimum of three vines. So you have three vines that make up a row, you have a second row, and now that you have two rows, then you're not allowed to plant something within proximity. Or you could have one shura that has three gefanim and another second shura that has two gefanim. Okay, I don't know if we have to know all these details. Fine. Now, how far do you have to distance yourself in order to plant your grains from the keren? The keren that has two rows of three gefanim each. The shear is four amos. That's the minimum shear. And that shear of four amos, we measure from the ikar. The ikar means the root. Is that what's called in English? The root of the, where it starts growing from the ground. Obviously, it spreads very far. But we're gonna measure it from the ikar hagefen. Otherwise, you'd have to be machmir from the anothim, from the branches and the all the foliage and so forth and so on. Okay. Now, the isur that the Torah prohibits us to plant within four amos next to a kerem is an isur doraisa. However, what's considered four amos, that depends upon halacha l'moshe misinai. In any event, let's go back to our Gemara now. Amas kilayim bi ama bashisha l'may hilchisa. So the Gemara answers, l'karachas hakerem ulimachol hakerem. So in these two cases, we need an ama of six tfachim. Because here, the chumrah is achieved by extending the ama to an ama of six tfachim. So let's try to understand now what is kirachas hakerem, which literally translates as the bald part of a vineyard, and mechol hakerem, which means the circumference of the kerem, going around. Fine. Now, inside the kerem, inside the vineyard, so let's say you have these two rows that we spoke of, each of them has three vines. Any area within those rows, then you're not allowed to plant anything other than gefen, other than a vine. And it's not going to help you to be marchik four amos. Do you follow? So let's say you have a field that has many, many rows of vines. And there could be a distance between one row and the other of arba amos, maybe even 10 amos. It wouldn't help here, because once you're within the kerem, then the Torah prohibits all planting whatsoever. If you're outside the boundaries of the kerem, then you need a chukka of four amos. Now, what happens if in the middle of your kerem there's a bald spot for whatever reason? Let's say the ground wasn't wasn't plantable, or the winds blew, whatever it is, or you decided for whatever aesthetic reasons that you have an area in the middle where you want to plant something else other than grapes, and that's called kerachas hakerem. Now, what is the size of kerachas hakerem, this bald spot in the middle of your kerem, that allows you to plant something else, another kind of zroim, a different kind of seed? So that's going to be a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah in Kilayim. Tisnan Kerecha Saker Beit Shammai Omrim Esrim V'Arba Amos. It means from one row of a vine to another row, there has to be a distance, a minimum distance of 24 Amos. If there's less than 24 Amos, then again you're inside the Kerem, and as we said before, inside the Kerem, everything's prohibited. You're not allowed to plant anything but vines. Beis Hillel Omrim, on the contrary, according to Beis Hillel, Sheish Esrei Amos. All you need is an area of 16 Amos. Once there's a Kerechas, there's a bald spot in the middle of your Kerem of 16 Amos, then you're allowed to plant grains, for example. If it's less than 16 Amos, then even Beis Hillel would say you're not allowed to plant anything other than vines. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Mamish, I just want to tell you what Machol HaKerem is. Machol HaKerem means that you have an area. Now let's keep in mind, the Kerem itself is surrounded by a fence. Okay, that fence is called a Gader, Gimel Dalet Resh. And that Gader completely surrounds the Kerem. The Machol HaKerem is the area between the last Geffen and the Gader. Now, you always have to leave a little room, airspace, because you need to bring in various utensils, and people have to, you know, get in and plow the land, and so forth and so on. So there's going to be a distance between the Gader and the first Kerem. Beit Shammai Omrim, Sheish Esrei Amo, that the minimum amount of a distance between the closest Geffen and the Gader, the fence that surrounds the Kerem, has to be 16 Amos. Again, if we were learning Kelayim, we would have to go into all the details here about why Beit Shammai says this and why Beis Hillel says this. This is all very deep sugyas here. And the trouble is, if you're learning what we call Daf Yomi, it's not going to help you one bit, because this is Zroim. Zroim is not covered by Daf Yomi. In fact, half of Shas is not covered by Daf Yomi. If Shas means Mishnah. So this is Mishnah Zroim. Beis Hillel Omrim, Shtei Mesrei Amos. That if there's a distance between the Gader and the closest row of vines in the Kerem, of Gefanim in the Kerem, of 12 Amos, then you're allowed to plant something there. So that again, let's focus for a moment on Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, to get a Kerachas HaKerem, you need 24 Amos in the middle of the Kerem. I'm sorry, that's Beit Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, you need 16 Amos in the Kerachas HaKerem. As far as the Machol HaKerem, which is the area around the Kerem, all you need is 12 Amos. Ezohi Kerachas HaKerem, the Mishnah continues by asking, what is a Kerachas HaKerem? Is Kerem Shecharav Emtza Iso. The word Charav means desolate, so there's some area in the middle, we called it a bald spot, but it's basically Charav, it's desolate of any Gefanim, and it's in the middle of what? In the middle of this Kerem. Is according to Beis Hillel, Ein Sham Sheish Esrei Amos, if there's not a distance of 16 Amos between one Shura and the next, then Lo Yavi Zera L'Sham, you're not allowed to plant any other Zroim in that area. But Hoyu Sham Sheish Esrei Amos, then No Saying Lo Kidei Avodoso V'Zorea Es HaMosar. Now, what is Kidei Avodoso? Kidei Avodoso is another term for Arba Amos. So what you do is you distance yourself 4 Amos from each side, which would mean, therefore, that according to Beis Hillel, just 1 second, if 4 Amos and 4 Amos, and we have to get to what number? To 16. Oh, so there's 8 Amos in the middle. So there's going to be an 8 Amos square, which is called Kerachas, where you're allowed to plant. So again, plant is right. So you're going to have to distance yourself on both sides of the kerem, because now we're in the middle of the kerem, 4 amos. And then what you have is a square of 8 amos, right, the total of which is 16 amos. So you subtracted 4 on this side, 4 on this side, and that's where you're allowed to plant. So let me just show you this picture of what's called Kerachas HaKerem, according to Beis Hillel. So if you take a look at this picture, what you'll see is that this is the kerem, right? This is the kerem. And the next page is going to have a picture of what we called, what do we call it? We called it the Machol HaKerem, right? It's Machol, because that's going to be the distance between the kerem and this wall that surrounds the kerem. But now we're talking about a bald spot in the middle, which is Chorev. And what you have here is the following. You have 16 amos by 16 amos. So you've got 4 amos where you're not allowed to plant, because if you plant a zera, you're too close to the gefen. You've got to distance yourself a minimum of 4 amos. And that has to be on each side. So you have 4 amos on each side. And now what you're left with is 8 amos. That's this box in the middle, which is called Kerachas.
The white or the brown?
The brown is the 8 amos in the middle. Right. Follow this white area,
yeah, that's what I
was the 4 amos distance.
Right.
So within that brown area, which is called 8 amos, that's where you can plant anything you want. That's according to Beis Hillel. Now, Jerry asked me, which amah do you want to use over here? Well, the answer is that if you want to be machmir, then you're going to use the larger amah. Am I correct? Again, with regard to kerem, you're going to want to use the larger amah, right? That was amas kelayim bi amah bashisha tvachim. Why? Because, again, you want to know at what point are you allowed to plant another zera. So you're going to have to be a greater distance if you want to be machmir. And if you want to expand the distance, then you're going to use an amah, which is a bas shisha tfachim. The same is going to apply to the case of machol hakerem, right? Because if you remember from the last gefen until the wall, you have to have a distance going to Beis Hillel of 12 amah, and once again, you're going to use the larger amah. So we'll have to stop here because I see we ran out of time. But basically, we got the gist of when Rav Nachman wants to use the larger amah lechum. Okay, then. So we're going to stop here. If anyone wants to learn a little bit more of Erev and Be'iyun, you know.